each other to church this morning. This next song is called All the People Say Amen. And what does amen mean? It means, yes, Lord. It means, let it be so. And I know in our walk in our faith, sometimes those amens are, you know, easy to do in the good times and say, yes, Lord, let it be so. I'm okay with that. That's great. But those amens are sometimes hard to say in the valleys, right? So as our walk, as we, you know, get stronger in our faith, it becomes easier to say, yes, Lord, let it be. And I'll trust that you're going to walk me through that valley, not around it, not over it, but sometimes through it, right? And sometimes we have to. And there's certainly times where, yes, he rips you right out of that valley, right? But there's times where we learn things through that, and we have to say, okay, God, I'm okay with that. And it doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. That's kind of what this song is about. We're all the same in God's eyes. It doesn't matter. There's no status in God's eyes. He sees you by your heart and by your willingness to accept him and just move forward in faith. Amen? So let's sing this song. To hear this morning. You know, this is a song, I love this song, but it's vocally challenging for me. So when I feel like God's telling me to do it, I do it, but I don't do it as often as maybe I would like to do because I really like the words of this song. Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. I don't know who needs to hear that this morning, but that's our God. Amen. So I'm having a little trouble this morning with my, it's early. It's been a long week, so you guys sing it out. If I lose it, you keep going.
Waymaker,
darkness, my God, that is who you are. God is but a moment away from being close to you. It's not him that moves, it's usually us, right? He's always there, but sometimes we kind of shove ourselves to the side or we get busy and we have to rein ourselves back in, right? So this is the song is about, draw me close to you.
Yeah.
goes right into this last song. You're All I Want was the chorus in that one, and this one is called I Want It All. Not just a little bit, not just a lot, but all. Is that you this morning? Do you want more conviction? Do you want his presence and not just the feeling? Because feelings fade. We can love songs and we can get into songs with a feeling of, you know, joy. But in our heart, we're hoping for his presence, I hope, right? When we're singing these songs. So let's sing this out.
Everybody good? We were here last night. Aaron, some of you might have known that he had another professional fight last night. In 28 seconds, he was done his fight. And, you know, it's funny to me because, of course, we were praying for him as one of our own and cheering for him as one of our own. And I think of the dedication and the work that goes into it, even him cutting weight and getting down, which was amazing. We had a neat insight into just the struggle that was for this particular fight. And, you know, it was kind of neat just being able to celebrate that together. And then, of course, Aaron called the church right after the fight. So the fights were still going on, but his fight was over and we were able to talk to him. But it was kind of a neat night of just celebrating Aaron's dedication, right? And I was thinking of all of those times that Paul talks about the dedication that we should have as athletes when it comes to our spirit, right? The discipline and all those things that we need to show, just as athletes do. And so we've been talking about the Holy Spirit, and I want to ask, how was your communication with the Holy Spirit this week? You know, I hope that as you were praying and hopefully seeking a deeper prayer life, that you know what, you understood just exactly how the Holy Spirit can bring hope and peace, and all of those things can be reality in our life. And so again, it was a tough challenge, right? Taking apart how we pray, because sometimes, you know, we get into those habits, and I don't want God to ever be my habit. I want God to be this all-consuming everything, right? I don't want those moments, and I want to continue talking about that. I hope that in your prayer, there would be a new urgency, there would be a new desire, there would be a new priority to prayer. Because prayer is what begins that whole relationship with the Holy Spirit, right? Where we start to hear him. A.W. Tozer said this. He said, we can discover more of the Holy Spirit in 5 minutes on our knees in adoring worship than 5 years in seminary. As a man prays, so is he. Beautiful, right? So think about that last part of the statement, even though that statement encompasses what we're going to be talking about today. As a man or woman prays, so are they. That's a big statement, isn't it? To understand that 5 minutes of truly pouring yourself out, of truly being open to the Holy Spirit, he says, is way better than 5 years in seminary. Like, let that sink in. You know, because there's so many times where I hear this. They'll say, well, you know what, Andrew, I'm just not trained. I didn't go to school. Well, the disciples didn't go to school. And the Spirit was being poured out on them. And you know what? Tozer was trying to help us to understand that it's in the presence of the Lord that we are changed. It's in the presence of the Lord where wisdom grows, right? So I love that. And I love the way that Tozer also linked it to worship. He says, in adoring worship on our knees, in adoring worship. It's just this deep, affected kind of moment. And you've had that, right? I hope that you've had that. This love with God that all of a sudden it's all consuming, and he is your focus, and he is your treasure, and he is the one that you cherish in those moments. Well, I want to talk this morning about making those moments more of our reality. So it starts with, do you treasure your prayer time? Like, there's the moment where we should be filling up. There's the moment where we should be releasing the things that we shouldn't hold. There's the moment where we should be getting direction. Do you treasure your prayer moments? Is it something that consumes, right? And you may not be there, but I promise you the Holy Spirit really does await you in those moments, right? And I want us all to be growing in our understanding of our prayer life and to connect with heaven in a deeper, more incredible way, right? To find new territory, to press in, to press in, to press in. And then I wanted to kind of talk this morning, if a deeper connection with heaven is the goal and it starts with prayer, then I want you to know that it's sustained through a life of worship. That your connection with heaven, again, you got to hear me on this, is sustained, right, through a life of worship. And what does a life of worship look like? You know, that's a big concept, right? When we think of worship, what do? We usually think of a worship service, don't you? Right? It's a time where we set aside and we say, you know what, I'm going to go to church or I'm going to go to service today, and I set aside this time. And so all of a sudden, we try to enter in like our worship night even. Right, a few weeks ago, we stop our daily activities. And why do we do that? We stop our daily activities so that we can seek God, so that we can pray, so that we can sing, so that we can focus in. And what is the result? This is true, right? When we come seeking, what is the result? Well, God meets with us. And the Holy Spirit comes and we have those moments, don't we? And we go, oh, I feel like now I can make it through the week, right? Like, so we get those moments with God, and that's not new, right? Matthew 18, verse 20, for where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. And that's always been the way of God, right? Because again, I tell you all the time, God is not hiding. But even look back at some of the Old Testament, Jeremiah 33, verse 3, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things that you do not know. Again, this principle that if you seek, you will find. It's throughout Scripture. God longs for you. God longs for you. And so when you call out to him, guess what? He's already waiting. And I was thinking about this again. I think back to dating, right? Because again, this, you know, God has given us relationships as this metaphor for the ultimate relationship that we should have with him, right? And so you think of this whole idea of dating, and I hope that everybody, if you're here and you're dating, this may be really, this is fresh to you. If you've been married for a few years, I hope that you haven't forgotten this. Right? Because sometimes we do. We kind of let some of those things change. But think of how exciting it used to be when you first started to date. For Allison and I, it was kind of funny because all eyes were on us, right? In seminary and all those sorts of things. And so all of a sudden, I would wait for that call to come in and I'm like, whoo! And there was only like a phone on every floor. So I would have this great big long extension cord and I would bring it into my room and people would be like banging on my door. Are you almost done? And I'd say, go die! I'm talking to Allison, right? So I've learned to kind of mature a little bit now, right, with responses to people and that sort of stuff. But I couldn't wait for her call to come in. Why? Because I wanted to be close to her, and even her voice was an awesome, awesome moment. I just wanted that moment. Oh. And then on those beautiful nights when we could plan a date and we could get our schedules right and we could get away together, those beautiful moments where I was in her presence. And you know what? I didn't want those moments to end, whether it was a simple phone call where I was hearing her voice or whether it was a date when we were out doing things. Like the movie was just a means. It was her presence that I wanted. And you know what? In that moment, you don't want it to end. And you've felt this if you've ever dated. I could live in this moment right now forever. Do you know that's what God wants? That's the way God feels about you. That God gets excited for those moments when all of a sudden you want to love him extravagantly. That you take time. You say, you know what? I'm going to stop the regular and I'm going to focus on him. And then those moments, right, when we come seeking, like worship begins before worship begins, when you come seeking God and you come ready to worship, then all of a sudden heaven is near. And in those moments, you don't doubt the presence of the Holy Spirit, right? Like you've been there and you're going, man, I just don't want this night to end. God longs for you. Wants to experience those moments where you cry out to him just to hear your voice. And if you look at Scripture, there's this intimacy that we are to have with God. This beautiful, again, even expressed as a taste. Think about this verse. It makes some people uncomfortable. Psalm 34, verse 8. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Like that describes an intimacy that may make you feel a little uncomfortable, but there's this beauty that God wants us to have. John McMillan wrote a song called How He Loves, and it came out in 2007, which is interesting to me because not a lot of people accepted the song in 2007. It was because of the lyrics, right? In fact, when I discovered the song, it was kind of like, well, who wrote this and when did they write it? And I was going, wow, this was written a couple of years ago. How come it took so long to kind of catch on? But here's some of the lyrics that were a problem. He said, so heaven meets earth like a sloppy, wet kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way he loves us. And I was going, why in the world was that an uncomfortable song? Why in the world did that take so long to catch on? And I remember Tony Campola, again, some, you know, one of those names that when you say it, people can either go, Or some people go, yeah, I like his writing. It's a little edgy in that. I remember there was a moment in his ministry when he kind of talked about intimacy with God in a very raw way. And he was blacklisted from a lot of different denominations and different events. And I kind of went, okay, Lord, so is intimacy with you something that's dirty? Why are we scared of intimacy with God? And then David Crowder was a guy who, again, he's leading worship for the world right now. Well, he had discovered that song too, right? In 2009, right? He understood, he re-released this song, but he changed the lyrics. So heaven meets earth like a sloppy wet kiss. He was going, okay, it's too many people are finding that. They can't get over that. They can't envision that. That's a little too much for our brains, right? And so he changed the lyrics, and you would recognize these lyrics. So heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss. And then people could kind of guard their mind so it didn't go into dirty places or something like that. And he said, you know what? What he was trying to tell the world is that intimacy is good. But he understood that intimacy is what scares people. Why does love seem scary? You know, even in our earthly lives, think about that. Nothing is more terrifying than love, right? Like love, that's why it takes your breath away, right? So all of a sudden it can be this all-consuming thing where you feel a little out of control. And somehow in our brains and our minds and our spirits, we think that we're supposed to be in control. And so being out of control scares us. But you know what? Many times, love just seems too big. Love just seems too big. And then I hear those sad stories where people like live with this regret because they never ever took a chance on love, like in our earthly relationships, like that crush and that person. And you were going, oh man, I was just so scared, right? I didn't move on that. And then all of a sudden, because you're paralyzed by the thought and the risk of love, you let it go. And then there's a complete contrast to that. Those who risk on love, and you go, oh, I can't wait for that call. Ooh, I can't wait for that date. And then the years go by, and what happens? We start to change. And we start to take love for granted, right? And if you've been married for a while, like this would be a warning to you, right? That we start to take each other for granted, and then all of a sudden we you know what? Some of those that excitement that we used to have, well, we just kind of, you've heard it said, well, love grows cold. Well, love shouldn't grow cold. If you're here today and you're married and your love is growing cold, well, then that's on you. And you should change the way that you're doing things, because you've got to get to that place where, oh, I can't wait for this moment. Oh, I don't want this moment to end. Oh, I could live in this moment forever. To remember how tangible love can be. And that's why I said again last week that we need to be communicating to the Holy Spirit. We need to be communicating in deep, deep ways. Why? Because our love should be all-consuming, almost terrifying. That we should be investing in love. Yes, in earthly love, absolutely. Right? I wish that the church had such a good track record in love and marriage that all those outside would be looking to us. But that's not the case right now. Folks, we need to shine bright in our marriages. Again, we do. We got to remember love. But that metaphor, it's for the Holy Spirit, that we would invest in His love, that we would never take God for granted, that you know what? It would be the important thing in our life. So again, how deep are your conversations with the Holy Spirit? Never let that relationship fade. And so it's interesting to me because, you know, we come through a pandemic and this is what I'm seeing. 2 years of chaos, 2 years of lockdowns, 2 years of never knowing what you're allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do, and trying to walk through this tightrope of craziness, and everything seemed to be changing. So if you felt like you were going insane, you lived through an insane time. Like, even the leaders didn't have any answers for you. You would ask questions. Trust me, I asked a lot. I've got several emails to Dr. Strang and stuff trying to figure things out, and they didn't have answers for us. They didn't. So if you felt insane, you were not alone. You were going through an insane time. But what happened when it came to life? We did whatever we had to kind of survive. And for some of us, it was like, I just got to escape. Right? Netflix exploded. Right? Everybody bought more cable. I don't know. It was like, I was looking the other day, and I said to our family, I said, there's a few things that are going to start to go missing. Right? Because I want to save $10 a month. And you know what? I haven't got time for this nonsense now that life is getting back. But make no mistake, that kind of helped some of us get through the pandemic. I just need to escape reality because reality is awful. So what happened is we formed some bad habits to try to survive. Imagine if now that the pandemic seems to be lifting, if we would reinvest our time into something that reaps way greater rewards, and we would invest in love again. Wow. You see, worship shouldn't be a moment. Worship shouldn't be contained to a service time that others have prepared for us. You got to hear me. Worship should be your life. And that's a big concept, right? Because we compartmentalize. We say, okay, this is what I do, and this is when I go to work, and this is when I come home, and this is family time, and this is time for the kids, and I got to check in on mom. And we have all of these things that we try to do. Do you know that God wants to be a part of all of that? Worship doesn't have to come to an end when the last song is sung and we give a final prayer. But you know what? We've been programmed to consider it that way, haven't we? Listen to what Francis Chan said. He said, if it's true that the Spirit of God dwells in us and that our bodies are the Holy Spirit's temple, then shouldn't there be a huge difference between the person who has the Spirit of God living inside of him or her and the person who does not? Now, I bring that up for this whole concept that we believe the Holy Spirit lives within. We get him as we receive God, amen, because God holds nothing back. And then often we come to church and we try to encounter God. Why do we need to come to church to encounter God when God lives within? And I'm not against the spiritual discipline of gathering. That's biblical. We need to gather together. We need to encourage each other. Like, I see Rob when he comes in and he's going around checking on people and hugging people, and I love that, right? He like comes in and he says, he tells me how his week has gone, and after service he tells me what I did wrong, which is great, right? And I love those moments, right? And then we see each other during the week, and there's beauty that comes out of this idea of gathering, that we need to have those moments. But there's a poor theology that has been created that, you know what, we need to come to service to experience God. No, the Holy Spirit dwells within you. Like, your bodies are the temple. Like, this temple is locked up sometimes. This temple is closed sometimes. This temple is busy sometimes. But you know what? We ask God's presence to be here, but he lives in you. Like, there's the truth that Stephen was killed for, right? Like, when you go back to the first martyr of the church, right, the stoning, he was stoned because of that understanding. Acts 7, if you want to read it, it's pretty amazing. But he says in verse 48, the Most High does not live in houses made by human hands. Stephen was saying, you know what? God lives in you. And it scared them so much, that intimacy scared them so much that they stoned him in the street. So let me ask, when is this temple closed? It's never closed. I mean, this temple rests, but even that should be done in the presence of God. The Most High lives within you. Worship service never has to end. Do you get that? That you are His dwelling place. Oh, church, let worship begin. That those moments that you wish would never end, they don't have to, right? Oh, that we would be aware of Him. That He would be that greatest love. That, you know what, we would never take Him for granted. Why? Because we're continually investing in the presence of the Holy Spirit. That we keep diving deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper because we want more and more and more and more and more. And here's the truth. You could start today diving to the depths of what we know about the Holy Spirit, and you could spend your lifetime diving deep, and you'd never come to the bottom. Think about a relationship with the Holy Spirit that grows like that, that all of a sudden you start hearing God. Do you hear God? You start seeing God and seeing how He's moving in very real, tangible ways. A relationship in which the adventure and the excitement never ends. It only grows. See, I read about that. Life in the Holy Spirit. I read about that, but I don't want to just read about that. I want that experience. Again, we talked about it last week. Jesus said that you and I would do even greater things than He did. That should blow our minds, humble us, and scare us, and excite us. Oh, that we wouldn't miss that relationship, because there's a relationship with the Spirit. Greater things, greater things, greater things. And yet so many times we settle for less. Because we fear the unknown. We fear love. We fear intimacy. So then what happens? We expect less. And as a result, we live with less. When was the last time you prayed for somebody's healing? That's scary, isn't it? You know you're supposed to? You say, well, Andrew, the Holy Spirit has never really asked me to do that. Do you hear Him then? Well, I can't say that I do. There's the problem. You've taken love for granted. There is so much more. To live a life of worship, are you kidding me? When the presence of God, the service never ends. There is never a closing prayer. The temple is always open. Like last year, Kirtland was wrestling with some of this stuff, and I was so proud of him. Like I contacted him this week. He's in the midst of rebuilding his home. They've been living, some of you may not know that, but he's been living in a trailer, he's been living in campgrounds, he's been living in hotel rooms, now he's back living with his parents, and he's trying to get all of his house done, and so I've been giving him time, saying, look, you get that done, right? So he's been dividing his time, getting everything done here that he's responsible for, but he's been there whenever he could, and so I was bugging him yesterday. I was like, remember last year when you were doing this study on worship, because he was preaching on worship? And I said, there was this moment, I want to see how you put it. And he said, yeah, I was reading Tim Keller is where he was getting some of his research from. And he was reading Tim Keller. And all of a sudden, he made this moment in Kirtland's mind where the Holy Spirit had just kind of tuned him in. And he said, you know what? Worship is the act of assigning ultimate value to God. And it was so exciting for me because it was this eureka moment for Kirtland, and he was going, I will never forget this. Worship is assigning, man, it's giving ultimate value to God. And then he was kind of challenged, like, do I do that? Do I give Him ultimate value over everything, everything, every relationship, every task? Every dream, every sorrow, do I give it ultimate, does that assign power, does that ultimate value, does it go to God always despite all the distractions?
ultimate value to God. Standing in awe of him. Like last week, we shared a little bit of Galatians 6:25. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Do you do that? Living by the Spirit. Are you in step with him? Have you signed the ultimate value to him so that everything you do, he is a part of? That's when the worship never ends. More than the task that we have today, he's the ultimate. Everything you do will change when he becomes a part of everything you do. Whew. More than the dreams that you have for tomorrow, because all of a sudden you don't have dreams, he starts dreaming dreams for you. That he is the relationship that you cherish. And because of that, he enhances all of your relationships. More than self, not my will. How did Jesus pray that? He lived a life of worship. When we assign the ultimate value to God, then all of a sudden we understand what it means to keep in step with him, living by the Spirit, first and foremost, and then everything else falls into order because he keeps our passion alive, the adventure alive. He becomes our life. Paul proclaimed that. Like in Athens, again, that was an incredible sermon, right? People call it speech, that Paul gave in Athens when he was looking and he was surrounded by, like, they knew faith. They had so much faith, it was chaos. They had all of these statues to gods that were known, right? And so they would go to Athens and they would talk about all these great big spiritual concepts. And then Paul comes in and he's going, there's this statue to the unknown God. I'm going to tell you about that God. Acts 17, read that whole thing. It's incredible. Verse 24, he says, the God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth and does not live in temples built by human hands. I just think of the listeners and their hearts start to pound because that resonates with you. This God doesn't live in temples built by human hands. He's not served by human hands as he needed anything. Rather, he himself gives everyone life and breath and everything else. From one man, he made all of the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. And he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their land. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out to him and find him. Can you see their breathing just increasing and their heart pounding in their chest because this is what we were made for? He goes on to say, though he is not far from any of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. Church, in him we live and move. In him we have our being. That's beautiful. And the only way that that can happen is when we assign ultimate value to him. I believe that the Holy Spirit is moving right now in the world in a very new way, but he's moving in those who are hungry. And that's always been. Again, he's not hiding. And he predicted that that would happen. And so I'm going, wow, Lord, I just want more. I want more. I want more. I hope that you see the beauty of that. I hope that you would assign ultimate value to that. Like again, it's always been 2 Chronicles. This is, again, a beautiful verse that we all know. But think of it through the eyes of the Holy Spirit. Chapter 7, verse 14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. Those are people who know whose they were. We belong to God, God Almighty, the God of Jacob and Abraham. We belong to him and there is no greater thing. And they humbled themselves and they prayed. And they said, we're not going to settle for less. They turned from the less. They turned from their sin and their wicked ways. You know what? That's a description of worship. It's always been. assigning the ultimate value to God. The Holy Spirit awaits you and I. He wants it to never end. He can't wait for your call. Oh, he can't. He wants to do life with you. Why would you settle for anything less? Oh, it begins in prayer and sustained through a life of worship. Church, do not fear intimacy with God. Taste and see that he is good. Everybody bow your heads. You know, next week we're heading into the Advent. But this is one of those messages, and this is one of those challenges that doesn't end. And yet I see so many that call themselves brothers and sisters, and they're just so busy, their lives are just so filled. What scares me is what it's filled with. It's hard to see God in it. You know, we've all come through a crazy hard time, and the reality is we've done some things and been distracted by some things just so we could survive. I get that. I believe that we're living in a moment when the Holy Spirit is just longing for you. Free from distractions, he longs for you. And there's an intimacy that awaits. Risk it all. My prayer is that the church would be risking it all. Oh, he waits. Let's pray. Father, I want to say thank you for this crazy plan that you had from the beginning of time until we meet face to face. We'll have all eternity to be in your presence, but I don't want to wait that long. Everything I read would say that you've waited and longed for mankind. That when you came to our rescue, it's because you desired us. Even at conception, at that first thought of mankind, you loved us perfectly. And oh, why do we wait? I pray that we would desire intimacy with you. That we would assign ultimate value to you. That we would let nothing get in the way. That we would guard it. That we would protect it. That we would invest in it. That we would see how deep we could dive. I pray that you would just be that desire. That you would be our all. Lord, bless us as we move forward, and I pray that you just keep stretching us. More of you, more of you, more of you, I pray. In the name of our Savior, Jesus, amen.